This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih. ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the beautiful Quran قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره إن الله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beautiful Quran, say, O Muhammad, if your fathers, your sons and your brothers, your wives and your relatives, the wealth which you have obtained, the commerce in which you fear decline, and the dwellings which you are pleased with, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and struggling in His cause, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His command. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the unworthy people. My brothers and sisters, there are three things which if a person feels, there are three things which if a person has, then he will indeed taste the sweetness of Iman. The first and most important of which is what? Is what, my brothers and sisters? It is but loving Allah and the Messenger. It is but loving Allah and the Messenger. It is that you should love Allah and the Messenger more than anything else. Imam al-Bayhaqi, may Allah have mercy upon him, reports in his Sunan that once a companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than everything else. O Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than my family and my wealth. O Rasulullah, when I'm with my family, then I remember you, O Rasulullah. Then I feel my heart at unrest. I feel this unrest and this tension in me. And I must come out and run to you, O Rasulullah, until my eyes see you. And then I feel my heart finding at rest. At that point, the companion started to cry. He started to cry, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and said, Oh, so and so, what makes you cry? He said, Oh, so and so, what makes you cry? So the companion, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, Then, O Rasulullah, I remember death. I remember death. And that I will miss you, O Rasulullah, and then when I pass away, and you will pass away, and I will go to my grave and then you will go to my grave. How shall I look at you and be with you, Rasulullah? And thereafter you will be raised up and I will be raised up, and inshallah you will be with the companions of the prophets. You will be with the prophets in the day of judgment and you will be in the highest order of paradise. Whereas, O Rasulullah, what will happen to me? If I indeed do make it to paradise, then how will I ever be in your companionship? O Rasulullah, now that I'm your companion, how will I ever be your companion in paradise? At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the beautiful verse in the Qur'an. مَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the beautiful verse. And when this verse was revealed, then the companions became so happy that they've never been so happy in their lives. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, he who obeys Allah and the Messenger, indeed, he who obeys Allah and the Messenger, then he will be with the prophets and the siddiqeen and the martyrs and the good doers in the day of judgment. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what a righteous company that is. So I ask my brothers and sisters who are listening to me today, oh, you who say that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your guide and your prophet, do you not wish to be next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you not wish that you could come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grab his hand and shake it and give him a hug and say, oh Rasulullah, how much I missed you. Oh Rasulullah, how much I loved you, how much I read about you. Oh Rasulullah, how much I wanted to be with you. Do you not wish this? Indeed, every single Muslim wishes this. The ulama of Islam, may Allah have mercy upon them, they mention the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest act of ibadah. They mention that loving Allah and the Messenger of Allah is the most and highest deed that you can do. And they mention that indeed love of Allah and the Messenger of Allah is the basis and foundation for all deeds. Such is mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon him, in his fatawa. And Ibn Qudama, may Allah have mercy upon him, reports in Al-Mughni that the ulama have complete consensus that it is obligatory upon every single Muslim. It is obligatory upon the heart of every single Muslim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the people's love can be of four different types. People can have four different types of love. The first type of love which everyone would have known is that everyone and every man can love material things. Like for example, everyone loves a good thobe. Everyone likes nice perfume. Everyone likes their nice car. Everyone likes to have good in this life. This is love for the material things. The second type of love which people can have is love that necessitates physical desire, such as the love between the husband and the wife. The third type of love that people can have is a type of love that necessitates obedience, but it does not necessitate praise, such as, for example, love for the parents. Such as what? Love for the parents. And this is the love which necessitates obedience to the parents, because you must obey your parents. However, it does not necessitate that you should praise your parents or extol your parents above others. And the fourth and the last type of love is a love that is due to Allah and His Messenger. Is a love that is due to Allah and the Messenger. No, it is not a material type of love. No, it is not a physical type of love. No, it is not a type of love that only necessitates obedience. Rather, it is a type of love that necessitates obedience and praise and exaltation. That you should love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you should praise him. That you should extol him. That you should make him higher than anything else. This love which is due to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam cannot be put into words. I can't say love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is XYZ, can be defined as XYZ. No, this is not possible. For indeed, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is only known by the actions of the heart. Is only known by the actions of the heart and the actions of the limbs. So why must we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Why is it obligatory for a Muslim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Rather, the question should be, how can we not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How can we not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in an authentic hadith in Bukhari Muslim, muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon, that he said that none of you will enter paradise. None of you will enter paradise until I become more beloved to him than his father and his child and all of mankind. Then his tribe, when he said his father, he meant his tribe. When he said his son, he meant all his wealth and belongings and possessions and all of mankind. Anything else that he may have not mentioned in these two things. Anything else, O people, anything else, you will not truly enter paradise. You will not truly be a believer until you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then all of these things. Why should we not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When we see his great character, do you not remember how the Arab came to the mosque? How the Arab from the desert came to the mosque and he needed to use the toilet however the people were praying. So he came and he joined the prayer. And then he finished the prayer with the people. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, then he got up immediately and he went to the farthest corner of the mosque. And he opened his pants and he started to urinate. And he urinated in the part of the mosque. Did you not see, O people, how the companions wished to hit him? How the companions wished to rebuke him? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Da'hu, leave him, let him complete it. Leave him and let him complete it. And thereafter, after the companions let him and he completed his what he had to do, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call him to me in the best of manners. Call him to me. So the companions called him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of characters, yes, wallahi, the best of characters, he told him, Ya hadha, oh so and so. Ya hadha, oh so and so. These are the places of worship. These are the mosques of Allah, the places of worship. It does not befit us to use these places of worship as places of urination. Then indeed, the companion, this Arab, he was so amazed at this character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this character that makes a man have so much patience over something which none of us would have ever had patience upon? Once I remember praying Taraweeh in the Prophet's mosque. I remember praying Taraweeh in the Prophet's mosque, and I was in the Rawdah, I was praying there. And then there was a small child, and he couldn't hold his urine, his bladder anymore. So he just let it go. And we were where? In the Rawdah. So he just let it go. A poor child, he couldn't wait for his father to complete 20 rak'ah. He couldn't wait for it. So he just let it go. And subhanallah, it was as if there was a whole new world war starting. You see the people, the pious people, all screaming and shouting, ah, what is this, what is this? A'udhu billah, whose son is this, whose child is this? Where was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Noon, wal qalami wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful verse in Surah Al-Qalam, he says what? Noon. He says noon. وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. And he swears by the pen with which the angels write down our deeds. He swears by the pen with which the angels write down our deeds. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. And O you Muhammad, by Allah's grace, you are not mad. You are not mad over O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. And for you is a reward that is everlasting paradise. For you is an everlasting paradise. And then he says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed you are upon an exalted character. You are upon an exalted character. And this is an example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character. So how shall we not love him? How shall we not love him? Also from the reasons why we should love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he always chose that which was easy upon us. He always chose that which was easy upon us. Do you not remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions, O people, Allah has written Hajj upon you. Allah has made Hajj obligatory upon you. فَحُجُّ So do Hajj. So perform your Hajj. And so a man came up and said, أَفَكُلِّ آمِنْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Is it in every year, O Prophet of Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ turned away and he kept on walking. And he came and said, أَفَكُلِّ آمِنْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Is it in every year, O Prophet of Allah? So he kept on walking. And he repeated his question. So the Prophet ﷺ had said, were I to say yes? Were I to say yes, then it would become obligatory upon you and would not be able to. You would not be able to. Look at the rahmah for this ummah. Look at the mercy for this ummah. So why should we not love him? Also look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the battle of Badr. Look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Badr. 317 people came out of Medina in order to fight the kuffar, in order to get back the wealth which the kuffar of Medina, of Makkah, had taken from them. And when the caravan of Abu Sufyan deluded them and went back to Makkah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written for them a war against Quraysh. So when the caravan reached Medina, reached Makkah and the messenger of Abu Sufyan reached Makkah, then the people of Makkah came out in all their glory, in all their valor. They came out, 1,000 of them, to fight Allah and His Messenger, to wage war against Allah and the Messenger. So they came in all their splendor. They came to fight the Muslims, and then the Muslims waited for them in the battle of Badr, in the plains of Badr. They waited for them in the plains of Badr, and the Muslims were all very tired. This small, sorry group of Muslims were all very tired, so they slept the night, except one of them, and that was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he stayed up all night, imploring his Lord, raising his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saying, "Oh Allah, if this small group of Muslims are to be destroyed, oh Allah, there will be no one left on this earth to worship you. Oh Allah, we implore you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we implore you." All throughout the night, imagine this lone man standing up all throughout the night in this forgotten valley of Badr. He stood up all the night imploring his Lord, whereas all the Muslims were fast asleep. Fast asleep they were, whereas this person was making dua. Now I ask you, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not been sent to this ummah, where would one of us be? Where would we be? Answer me this question. Would you be in Medina coming for a holiday? Why would you ever come to this place, this forgotten city? Why would you ever come to this? Why would you ever come to this city if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do what he did for us? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would you be spending your time now? Where would you be? Would you be coming to Hajj? No, you would never be coming to Hajj. What type of animal would you be worshipping? What idol would you be worshipping? Subhanallah. Look at the great mercy of Allah. So why should we not love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you not remember? Have you not read the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the day of judgment? About the day of judgment, when the people will all gather, the people will all gather, and they will go to all the prophets. They will first go to Adam, and then they will go to all the other prophets thereafter. And all the prophets will say, no, go away from me, go away from me. I have done this and I have done that. Meaning that they are worried about themselves. They will be worried for themselves, except for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. So you will go to him. You will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. And when you say, "Oh Rasulullah, please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us." Will Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, no, nafsi, nafsi, oh myself, I wish to save myself. Will he say, "Oh my family, will he say, my family, no, never. He will say, my ummah, in the most difficult of times. Oh people, when your father and your mother will run away from you, your father and your mother, the ones who you love the most, and who love you the most, as you think, will run away from you. They will run away from you. Why will they run away from you? They will run away from you because when you come to them, you may ask them for even one reward. And they will be stingy on that day. They will not even wish to give you one reward, because they will see the great punishment in front of them and the great reward in front of them. Jannah and Nar will be ready in front of them. So how will they even give you one small reward? How will they even give you one small reward? Except for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the only one who will make dua for us. He is the only one in paradise. Only one on the day of judgment who will make tawassul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So why should we not love him? Why should we not love him? The people who were most worthy of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were indeed the companions of Allah, companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have in the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a beautiful example to teach us how to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see in the example of Abdullah ibn Salul. Now Abdullah ibn Salul, who was Abdullah ibn Salul? He was the leader of the hypocrites of Medina. But his son, whose name was also Abdullah, the son of the leader of the hypocrites, but he was a believer. The son was a believer. So what happened was once in the battle of Banu Mustaliq, the people were coming back from that war. And Abdullah ibn Salul, the hypocrite, had gone with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show that he was also a good believer. To show off that he was also a good believer. So when they were coming back from Banu Mustaliq, then Abdullah ibn Salul told the people, he said, when we approach Medina, indeed the more honorable of us, meaning himself, will throw out the more humble of us, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that point, some of the companions heard this. And they knew that Abdullah ibn Salul was trying to mock Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they went to Rasulullah and told him, look, this is what Abdullah ibn Salul is saying. Oh Rasulullah, see what Abdullah ibn Salul is saying. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became saddened at that. At that point, Abdullah the son heard what his father had said. And so he took his sword out and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh Rasulullah, order me and I will cut my father's head off for you. Order me and I will cut my father's head for you. Oh Rasulullah, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. Look at the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became happy and said, no, leave your father, leave him. And so the small group of Muslims approached Medina. They approached Medina. As you know, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when they approached Medina, then they would hurry. They would hurry up to reach Medina. So they started to hurry up. And Abdullah ibn Salul started to run. And then Abdullah the son came and he put his sword to his father's neck and said, wallahi, you will not enter until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters. Wallahi, you will not enter until the more honorable of us, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throws up the more humble of us, meaning, oh, you, my father. And at that point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he entered Medina, and he heard that this is what Abdullah the son had done to his father, he became happy and he said, no, let him enter. And he made dua for Abdullah. Look at the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this love that makes a man miss Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is this love that makes a man wish to sacrifice his father and mother? Wish to sacrifice his father and mother, the most loving oppositions to him. What is this love? It is but love for the best of mankind. Also in the Battle of Badr, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, the trustee of this ummah, the Amin of this ummah, he killed his own father in the Battle of Badr. And we know Umar, may Allah be pleased with them all. Umar killed his own uncle, Al-As, in the Battle of Badr. And Mus'ab ibn Umair, he killed his own brother in the Battle of Badr. What is this love that makes a person kill his own relatives? What is this love that makes a person kill his own relatives? Now I ask you, people, that if the son was now on one side and the father was on one side, if one of them were on the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would you have the courage to go and fight? Would you have the courage to go and fight your own father? Would you do that? Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr, Muhammad, his name was Muhammad. He came to Abu Bakr and said on the Battle of Badr, oh my father, I was trying to avoid you, because Muhammad was actually a disbeliever still. And Muhammad the son of Abu Bakr came to fight Abu Bakr, his own father, in the Battle of Badr. So he said, I was trying to avoid you, oh Abu Bakr. I was trying to avoid you, oh my father, so that I don't have to face you and kill you. He said, As for me, wallahi, had I found you, I would have killed you straight away. He said, I would have killed you straight away. This is the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once Abu Sufyan's daughter was Umm Habiba. Umm Habiba was one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Abu Sufyan, whilst he was still a disbeliever, he came to visit Umm Habiba in Medina. So he came all the way to Medina. And he came to the hut of Umm Habiba and he knocked on the door and Umm Habiba let him in. So he came in and he wished to sit down and there was a mat on the ground. And so he wished to sit down on the mat And when Umm Habiba saw this, she quickly went and folded the mat up and took it away. She quickly went and folded the mat up and took it away. So Abu Sufyan said, "Wallahi, it is as if the mat is better than me, or I am too good for the mat. It is either the mat is too good for me, or I am too good for the mat." So Umm Habiba replied, "No, rather this is the mat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you are a filthy polytheist. And you are a filthy mushrik. And I will never let a filthy mushrik sit on the mat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this is the love for the mat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do you show your true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There are these people who swear against Rasulullah. There are these people who talk against Rasulullah. Have you ever felt your eyes with having tears whenever this has happened? Have you ever felt this anger, this burning passion inside you when you have heard about this for against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where is your true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Abu Sufyan, may Allah have mercy upon him, when he was still a disbeliever, he was punishing a lot of the believers in Medina, in Makkah. He was punishing a lot of the believers. He was punishing Zayd. And once when he was punishing Zayd, and he was stoning him and he was lashing him, then he put him into the cage and he told him, "Oh so and so, oh Zayd, do you not wish that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be in your place? Do you not wish that you be back at home with your family and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be in your place?" And he said, "Wallahi, I would not wish that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be even pricked by a thorn. I would not wish that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be even pricked by a thorn." When Abu Bakr, may Allah have mercy upon him, when he was being lashed, once when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was prostrating in the Kaaba, when he was praying to the Kaaba, and he was prostrating, then the kuffar of Quraysh saw him, and they bought the entrails of a camel that they had slaughtered, and they put it on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when Abu Bakr saw this, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took this off, and took the entrails of this camel off the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he went to these mushrikeen, to this Quraysh, and he started telling them off for what they did. So the mushrikeen, they started to beat Abu Bakr, and they beat him and beat him and beat him so much until Abu Bakr fell fainted, and he fell fainted. So the people of Abu Bakr, his tribe, came and took him back. And when after a couple of hours Abu Bakr regained his consciousness, when he regained his consciousness, Abu Bakr, what was the first thing he said? What was the first thing he said? He said, "Wallahi, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" The very first thing that he said was, "How is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" This is the true love of a companion for his true beloved, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, in the Battle of Uhud, there was a woman from Banu Dinar, and we do not know what this woman's name was. This woman from Banu Dinar, she came to the Battle of Badr to see what had happened, and 70 of the Muslims had died, and 37 of the non-Muslims had died. So 70 of the Muslims had died in the Battle of Badr. So she came and passed by a corpse in front of her and said, "What is this corpse?" And because it had been mutilated, because the mushrikeen had come and cut off their noses and their ears, and cut open their chests and taken out their hearts and their livers. And so she asked, "Who is this corpse?" And so one of the companions replied, "This is your father. This is your father, oh so and so." Then she went and passed by another corpse and said, "Who is this?" He said, "Oh, this is your brother. This is your brother." And so she passed by another corpse and said, "Who is this?" "This is your son." Three of her family members, her father, her brother, and her son had died. Then she asked, "But where is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He said, "Where is Rasulullah?" Then the companion said, "Look, he is there, he is there." So she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Oh Rasulullah, truly, O Rasulullah, as long as you are alright, then all my worries are nothing. So truly, O Rasulullah, as long as you are okay, you are my beloved. Truly, as long as you are okay, then everything else is nothing. Everything else is nothing. As long as you are okay, O Rasulullah, everything else is nothing." In the battle of Badr, Sa'ad ibn Quzay, he was from one of the fighters, one of the Ansar. He was lining up to fight the people of Badr, and fight the mushrikeen on the day of Badr. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was going past with his stick, and he was correcting people and putting them into line. Sa'ad ibn Quzay, this person, he started coming out of line. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, and he went with his stick and hit him on his stomach. He hit him on his stomach and hurt him. So Sa'ad ibn Quzay said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? What is this, O Rasulullah? You have hurt me. And I want recompense, O Rasulullah. I want recompense. I wish to hit you back, O Rasulullah. You have hurt me, so I wish to hurt you back. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he lifted his staff and said, hit me back. He said, hit me back. And so Sa'd ibn Quzay, he came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he hugged Rasulullah ﷺ and he kissed him. He kissed him on his stomach. So all the companions saw this and said, what is this, O Sa'd? Rasulullah ﷺ said, oh, ya Sa'd, ma hamalak ala hadha? What has caused you to do this, O Sa'd? So Sa'd ibn Quzay said, O Rasulullah, you see the mushrikeen in front of us. And soon, after a little while, we will be fighting. And I know that I may die in this battle. So Rasulullah, I wish that the last thing that my body touches is your skin, O Rasulullah. Imagine the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you not remember how this tree was crying for Rasulullah? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving the khutbah. And thereafter, when the number of Muslims became so much, that there was felt a need to build a minbar for Rasulullah. So a minbar was built, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to give his khutbah from the minbar, they could hear the haneen al-jazr. They could hear the whinings of the tree. They could hear a sound coming from the tree, an authentic hadith in Bukhari. They could hear the sound coming from the tree. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned towards the tree. It was as if the tree was crying. It was as if the tree was crying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the tree and put his hands on the tree, and then the tree stopped crying. The tree stopped crying. An authentic hadith in Bukhari. So some of the salaf said, if this tree was able to cry, if a tree, a thing that does not have life, if a tree who is not obliged to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to cry for missing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not a people who say that their prophet is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more worthy of crying for missing him? Are not you people more worthy of crying for missing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you not more worthy of missing him? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had died, the first and the most, the dua that the people of Medina used to make all the time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that, Oh Allah, give us the meeting of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pond. Because the first time that inshallah all of us will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we die as Muslims, is on the pond of Al-Kawthar. We will inshallah meet him on the pond of Al-Kawthar. This is the first time we will meet him. So the companions, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had died, used to make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give us the meeting of our Habib. Oh Allah, give us the meeting of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pond of Al-Kawthar. Anas, may Allah have mercy upon him, he used to say, I see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams every night. He said, I see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams every night, except in the odd nights in which I do not see him. So he raised his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He raised his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Oh Allah, please let me see my beloved even on the odd nights. He said, Oh Allah, let me see my beloved even on the odd nights. How many of us have ever seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream? Yet Anas used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day, except in the odd days. Every even night he used to see Rasulullah. And so he used to make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I cannot bear this. I cannot bear missing my Prophet even for one day. So let me even see him even on the odd days. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah have mercy upon him, he used to say, Wallahi, there was nothing more beloved to us than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, there was nothing more beloved to us than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my eyesight had not seen anything more beloved to me than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an authentic hadith in Bukhari, in Muslim. He said, my eyes had seen nothing more beloved than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahi, we could not make ourselves look at Rasulullah. He said, we the companions, because of a great praise and a love and exaltation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we could not make ourselves look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No wonder, because they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, they could not bear to even put their eyesight at Rasulullah. So whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in front of them, they would always be looking down. Always be looking down. Naam ya Rasulullah. Naam ya Rasulullah. Naam, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you, O Rasulullah. What do you command me? What do you order me? O Rasulullah, love you for Allah's sake. This is how the companions were. This is how the companions were. An example of the true great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, came to Umar and said, Oh my father, why do you love Usama so much? Why do you love Usama, this particular companion called Usama? Why do you love him so much? You love him more than me. Why do you love him more than me? By Allah, he has never beaten me to any battle. By Allah, he has never beaten me to any battle. I have always been better than him in every battle. So why do you love him more than me, oh my father? So Umar, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to love Usama more than you. He said, indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to love Usama more than you. So I prefer the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam rather than my love. I prefer the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam rather than my love. How many of us prefer the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam over and above our own love? We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to love Hassan and Hussein. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to love Aisha and Abu Bakr. We know he used to love Khadija. He used to love the Ansar. He used to love the Muhajirin. He used to love them more than our own people. He used to love them more than our own families. So how do we love our own families more than them? How do we love our own families more than them? Rather, we should prefer the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam rather than our own love. Also, Umar came to Abbas, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and said, "Oh Abbas, accept Islam." This was when Abbas was still a disbeliever. The uncle of Rasulullah, Al-Abbas, was still a disbeliever. He said, "Oh Abbas, accept Islam. Oh Abbas, accept Islam. Wallahi, it is more beloved to me that you should accept Islam rather than my own uncle Al-Khattab accepting Islam. Wallahi, it is more beloved that you should accept Islam rather than my own uncle Al-Khattab accepting Islam." And Abbas said, "Why? Why is it more beloved that I should accept Islam rather than your own uncle, whereas your uncle is closer to you than me?" He said, "Because Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have loved that you accept Islam before my uncle, so I prefer his love rather than my own love." Subhanallah, this is how Umar truly understood that when he had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Oh Rasulullah, I love you more than anything else except my own self. Except my own self." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "No, Umar, you have not truly believed." Then Umar said, "Now, O Rasulullah, I love you more than everything else, including myself." So at that point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Now, Umar, now you have truly believed. Now you have truly believed." Do you see how Umar truly understood what that meant? How it truly means to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you put the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam above and before your own love, that you put his own love before your own love, that you put him before your own emotions. Once Bilal, who was from the fighters, in the battle of Al-Quds, in the battle for Bayt al-Maqdis, as you know, the battle of Al-Quds. For Bayt al-Maqdis wasn't really fought. Why? Because the people of Bayt al-Maqdis, they came to Khalid bin Walid and said, "Oh Khalid bin Walid, here is some poison." He said, "Oh Khalid bin Walid, here is some poison. If you drink this and you still survive, we will give you Bayt al-Maqdis. We will give you the keys to Bayt al-Maqdis without you even having to raise a sword against us." And Khalid bin Walid saw this and saw that he could save all of the Muslims. So he said, "Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." Then he drank it, and nothing happened to him. So Al-Dhahabi, may Allah have mercy upon him, the great scholar, says in Sir al-Alam al-Nubula, he says, hadha wallahi mu'jiza, hadha wallahi, this is a miracle. Look how Khalid bin Walid, he drank the poison, and he did not die. Later on, when Al-Quds was taken over, then the people who had actually made the poison, that the priests who had actually made the poison, they said, "Wallahi, we had made the poison from the most poisonous of things that we could ever find. The most poisonous of poisons that we could ever find." Subhanallah. So we come to our story. And that is Bilal. May Allah have mercy upon him. He was from the fighters who opened Al-Quds. So Umar, may Allah have mercy upon him, came from Medina. And he came to Al-Quds in order to take the keys of Al-Quds from the people, from the Christians, from the Romans at that time. So the time for prayer came. And so the companions, because the companions had all gathered together to fight that war, looked at Bilal. They said, "Oh Bilal, would that you give the adhan once more." Because Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, had made an oath that that after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would never give the adhan even once. He would never give the adhan even once. So the companion said, oh Bilal, please, would that you just give the adhan just for once. Just for once and remind us of your adhan, oh Bilal, because we really miss it. So Bilal kept insisting, saying, no, I had made a promise, it's only for Rasulullah, only for Rasulullah. So the companions kept on insisting until Bilal agreed. Then so Bilal went up to the minaret. He went up to the highest place that he could find. And he put his fingers in his ears and he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the companions remembered the adhan of Bilal. The companions who had gathered there remembered the adhan of Bilal. And they remembered how Bilal used to give the adhan to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remind the Muslims of their prayer. So they started crying. Why were they crying? They were crying. They were not crying because there was anything different in the adhan. No, the adhan was the same adhan, and the companions were all there. Yet, the only thing that was missing was their beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were crying because they missed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They missed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the people were so amazed. The people that when they saw all the companions, the great army of the Muslims had come to conquer Quds, and they were all crying when they heard the adhan of Bilal. Subhanallah, look at the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hearts of the believers. There are certain signs that truly show that someone really loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain signs to show what the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly means to us. If all of these stories that I have told you, and these are not stories, wallahi they're not stories, but they're all authentic tales from our pious predecessors. If these stories have not touched you, then I do not know what will touch your heart. If these stories have not touched you, if the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not entered into you, and you are in Medina, you are in his city, and you are in the city of his companions, if his love has not entered into you, wallahi, I feel sorry for you. And I hope that everyone has been affected by these stories, has been affected, and that the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has truly entered into their hearts. So now the question must be asked, what are the true signs that show that someone really loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The first and most important sign that shows the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you should follow his example, is that you should put his sunnah before everything else, is that you should love his sunnah more than anything else. As do you not see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beautiful Quran, say indeed, say O Muhammad, tell the believers, if you indeed truly love Allah, then follow me, then Allah will love you. Yes, if you love Allah and therefore love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the love of Rasulullah and the love of Allah are intertwined. They are together. They are connected. You cannot love Allah except that you love Rasulullah. And you cannot love Rasulullah except that you love Allah. So if you indeed love Allah, then follow me, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then indeed Allah will love you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And not only Allah will love you, because Allah azza wa jalla, when he loves, he will tell Jibreel alayhi salam, he will say, oh Jibreel, indeed I love so and so. So love him as well. So Jibreel goes down to the people of the heavens and says, oh so and so people of the heaven. Oh people of the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, so love him. And Jibreel alayhi salam tells all the angels, say, oh angels, Allah azza wa jalla loves so and so, so love him. And he tells the people of the earth, saying, love so and so. And indeed, for Allah loves him, so the people of the earth also love him. From the signs of true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to remember him a lot. Is to remember him a lot and to send your salutations and your peace and your blessings and your greetings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Indeed Allah, O believers, indeed Allah and the angels send their peace and their blessings and their salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you too, O believers, send your peace and your blessings and your salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. From the love, from the signs of the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to have this great impatience this great impatience and this great eagerness in your heart to meet him. Is to have this great impatience and your great eagerness in your heart to meet him. Subhanallah, Bilal, may Allah have mercy upon him. He used to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that on his deathbed, when Bilal, may Allah have mercy upon him, he was dying. As Ibn Kathir, may Allah have mercy upon him, reports in Bidawah al-Nihaya, that Bilal, when he was dying, his companions, the companions of Bilal, came to him and started crying, saying, "Oh Bilal, we're going to miss you. Oh Bilal, what is going to happen to you? Oh Bilal, you're going away from us." So Bilal smiled at them, saying, "No, do not be unhappy, for wallahi, I'm going to meet my Habib. Wallahi, I'm only going so that I can meet my Habib that I've been missing for so long. I'm only going so I can meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't be unhappy for me." From the signs of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the true signs of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that you should love the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved, and they should hate the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hated. So you should love the Ansar, you should love the Muslims, you should love every good thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed us and directed us to, and you should hate every evil thing, and you should hate the disbelievers, and you should hate the people of shirk and kufr and sin. This is from the signs of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you wish to love Rasulullah and you do not love that which he loved? How do you wish to say that you hate that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hated and you do not really hate that? How do you love this life so much? Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never once did he ever love this life. Never once did he ever love this life. From the signs of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you should shun this life. Is that you should shun this life. Subhanallah, how this life has come to us in all its glory. How this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened up this life to us. Do you not remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, "O Prophet of Allah, O Muhammad, if you wish, I will turn this old mountain of Uhud," and you have visited mountain of Uhud, how grand and how big the mountain is, how large and wide and how expansive the whole mountain is. He said, "If you wish, I will turn this mountain into gold for you, O Muhammad. I will turn this mountain into gold, O Muhammad." And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, O Allah, no. Rather, O Allah, let me live with the poor and let me be raised with the poor." So if you indeed love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do you love that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not love? How do you love this material life, this good car and this good wealth and this life that you are leading and this great hotel that you're staying in and the great food that you're eating? How do you love this? How do you love this over and above the love of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had loved? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once there is a beautiful narration. And the companions came out of their house. Once Abu Bakr came out of his house and he was extremely hungry. Abu Bakr, the greatest of the people after the prophets, came out of his house. And he had tied a stone to his stomach. And Umar also came out of his house after Dhuhr and he had tied another stone to the stomach. Why tie a stone to the stomach? Because the weight of the stone would fool the stretch receptors of the stomach and make it think that it is full. Make it think that it is full so he would not be hungry. He would not be troubled with the worry of hunger. And then when they came out of their houses, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of mankind, the beloved of Allah, came out of his house and he had three stones to his stomach. He had three stones to his stomach. Imagine this. He was more hungry than all of them put together. When you have this food in front of you, and he remembered that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had this beautiful food. He said, "Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never saw white bread. Wallah, he never felt the taste of white bread. And all we eat is white bread. We eat the best of foods. Do you not see this food in front of you? And you see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of mankind, did not even have even a morsel of this. Do you not feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forbid you from paradise? Do you not feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden you from really tasting the sweetness of Iman? From really tasting the sweetness of Iman? Because you are so much into this life. You are so materialistic of people." Subhanallah, may Allah forgive us. May Allah give us a dislike for this life in our heart. May Allah truly let us live in this life as if we are truly like in a prison. For because if this life becomes like a bed of roses to us, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish to give us the great good that He's waiting for us, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to misguide us. Subhanallah. May Allah keep this life away from us. May Allah keep the love of this life away from us. Lastly, there is a beautiful hadith that I wish to mention to you. An authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith. He said, as Abu Hurairah, may Allah have mercy upon him, said. He said, from the ones who love me the most. He said, from the ones who love me the most will be a people who will come after me. He said, from the people who love me the most will be a people who will come after me. They're talking about us. We are a people who come after Rasulullah. We are a people who have come after Rasulullah. So he said that from the people who love me the most will be a people who will come after me. A people who will come after me. And they would wish that they could sacrifice their families and their wealth in order to just see me even once. He said, from the people who will come after me are the people who will love me the most. And what is the characteristic of these people? The characteristic of these people is that they would wish that they could sacrifice all their wealth and all their family in order to just see me even once. I ask you this question, and I leave you with this question unanswered. Are you of those people who wish to sacrifice all that you have and all that you possess and all your family and your children and your father and your mother in order to just see your beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even once? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, he said, there will come a people after me who will be my khalil, be my best friends. My best friends. There will come a people after me who will be my best friends in paradise. Best friends in paradise. So the companion said, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Rasulullah, we are your khalil. We are your best friends, O Rasulullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you are my companions. Rather, my khalil, my best friends, will be a people who come after me. And they will love me and believe in me even though they have not seen me. Wallahi, this is a hadith talking about us. Wallahi, O Allah, we make you witness that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we believe in him even though we have not seen him. So we wish that we will be from the khalil of Rasulullah, the truly beloved friends of Rasulullah in paradise. Subhanallah, Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.
Okay, now inshallah we'll take some questions. If brothers have any questions, they can ask some. And also the sisters, if they put some questions on the side, a brother will come up and bring them down inshallah. We only have about 15-20 minutes. Nadeem.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The brother asked the question that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the best of guidance in everything. And from the things that he showed us was how to do our salah upon him. So he showed us the best way of saying salah upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer, which is say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. As you know in durood that you say in salah. And there are various narrations on how to say this. So the brother's question was, what is the best way of saying in outside of the salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not really defined what is the best way of saying the salah upon him outside of the salah. Rather, he left it upon its clear meaning. So that which is best in salah is also best outside of salah. Because as you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that the prayer is dua. That the prayer is indeed just is supplication itself. So when you're making this is a supplication as well. So if it is the best thing that, if we have a guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salah, then that is also the guidance, best guidance outside salah. However, if in any way that you say your salatun Rasulullah, even to say Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to send your peace and blessings and your greetings and your salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has special angels that go around and listen to the people who are sending the salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inform him that so and so has sent your salutations on you. And from the benefits of this salutation is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will remember this on the Day of Judgment, and he will make dua for you and tawassul for you on the Day of Judgment based on it. Yes, brother, continue. Yes. Right. The brother's question was the ayah of the Quran, which is Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says sallu alayhi, means pray upon him, wa sallimu, and send your greetings to him. So the two words have really a similar meaning. Okay, because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only mentioned these two together in order to really emphasize the fact that you should really be sending your salutations upon him. So the ulama mentioned that the greetings and the salutations, because you cannot greet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that you're praying for him, and you cannot pray for him except that you're greeting him. So these two words are actually, as you can say, synonyms. Both have the similar meaning in this context. In this context. Barakallahu fik. Fadlak. Right. The brother asked the question, what are the characteristics of the people who will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pond? The characteristics of the people who will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pond are the people of Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah. No one else will ever get to drink from the pond except for Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah, by that I mean are people who hold on to the Quran and Sunnah, who prefer the Quran and Sunnah above anything else. So they put the view of the Quran and Sunnah and the opinion of the Quran and Sunnah above everything else. So they are the only people who will get to drink from the pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it must be understood that the pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually before, according to the correct opinion amongst the ulama, is actually before the Sirat. It's actually before the Sirat. Okay, the Sirat, as you know, is the bridge that everyone has to walk. So the pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually before the Sirat. As Ibn Kathir, may Allah mercy upon him, mentions Bidah Nihayah, it's actually before the Sirat. And this pond of Al-Kawthar has two canals, two pipes that come from the rivers of Paradise and feed the water to it. And the characteristics of this pond is that the water is whiter than snow, is more clear than snow, whiter than snow. It is sweeter than honey. It is colder than ice. And these are all authentic hadith reported in all the Kutub al-Sunan, and that the length and breadth, it is square in size. It is square in size, and that the length and breadth of it, the length of it is between the distance, is like the distance between Medina and Sana'a in Yemen. Sana'a is a city in Yemen, and this is the distance, this is the length and breadth of this pond of Al-Kawthar. And of course, as you know, the well-known hadith, and that there will be the number of cups that will be on this Al-Kawthar is like the number of stars. And everyone who will drink from it will get to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everyone who drinks from it will never be thirsty in their life ever again. So the ulama mentioned that whoever drink from it, why will they drink in paradise? They will only drink for pleasure, nothing else, not for thirst. They'll never be thirsty again after this. They'll never be thirsty again, right? Now the significance of this pond is because of the fact that as many of the narrations from the Salaf mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the sun closer to us on the Day of Judgment until it is only about 10 centimeters above our heads only. So people, everyone will sweat so much. People will sweat so much. It is a great a day of test and torment. Everyone will sweat so much on that day. Some people will sweat up to their knees. Some people will sweat up to their elbows and up until their shoulders. And some people will be drowned in the sweat. So this is the significance of the pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they will actually get to quench their thirst, and they will never be thirsty again after that. Right. So may Allah give us from the drink of Al-Kawthar, may Allah, inshallah. Namahi. My The brother is mentioning whether there is an authentic hadith or not about whether the member of Rasulullah is above the Haud or the Kawthar of Rasulullah. I don't know of any authentic hadith on that. Allahu Ta'ala alam. Allah knows best. Any questions from down? No.
If the sisters have any questions, please write them down. The brother's coming up now to collect them.
تفضل اخي. Okay, making dua for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the etiquettes of making dua for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The etiquette of making dua for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had taught us, that you should make dua for him, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send your salutations and your peace and blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not as people sometimes imagine that oh Allah give the reward of my hajj to Rasulullah, as some people say. Or for example, some people say, oh Allah give the reward of my prayer to Rasulullah, or the reward of my sacrifice to Rasulullah, or the reward of my stoning to Rasulullah. All of these are innovative practices. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. The companions, they love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than us, they never did that. So when you are in Arafat, yes, you send your peace and your blessings and your salutations upon him, and you make dua for him, say, oh Allah give him the highest station of paradise, just like you do, which is, you know, after the adhan is done, after the adhan you make your salutations upon Rasulullah. Allahumma rabba hadi da'wati tama wa salati al-qa'ima. Oh Allah, the Lord of this great prayer and of this great call and of this great prayer. Ati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila. Give Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-wasila, the means and the greatest of stations, wal-fadila, and the best and most immense of glory in paradise. Wa darajat al-rafi'a, and the highest of grades in paradise. وَأَعْتُهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ, and give him the station of Maqam Mahmud, meaning the praiseworthy station, which is a station that is on the Day of Judgment, which is a high level station above the plane of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Give him this station which you have promised him. إِنَّكَ لَتُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَدِ. This is an extra wording in some hadith in Bayhaqi. If you find it's authentic, it is authentic, so you can say this extra wording. إِنَّكَ لَتُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَدِ. Verily you do not break your promise.
Naam,
this is a good thing that you mentioned. Once Ubay ibn Ka'b came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Rasulullah, this is an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to Rasulullah and said, O Rasulullah, how much of my salah shall I give you? Shall I give you half? Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you wish, then give me half. They said, shall I give you three-fourths? He said, if you wish, give me three-fourths. And shall I give you all of my salah? He said, were you to do that, then it would be enough for you. Were you to do that, then that would be enough for you. So this hadith, the ulama had difficulty in understanding this hadith. What does it mean to actually give your salah to Rasulullah? Meaning, do you say that, oh Allah, make my salah, this prayer that I'm praying for Rasulullah? No. What this hadith really means, as many of the ulama mentioned, is that Ubay ibn Ka'b used to make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. He used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. So when he said, shall I give you half of my dua, meaning shall I make half of the dua that I make for you? And when shall I make three-fourths of my dua for you, O Rasulullah, or shall I make all of my dua for you? So when he said that, so Rasulullah said, were you to do that, all of that for me, then that would be enough for you. Now, the ulama mentioned that why would it be enough for you? Because, as you know, the hadith that when a Muslim makes dua for his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel and says, Walaka mithlu. When you say, oh Allah, give my brother Naeem this and this, oh Allah, give my brother Abdullah this and this, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel and says and repeats after you, say, oh Allah, give him Walaka mithlu, and for you is the same, oh Allah, give him the same. So this is why when you're making all your dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's perfectly fine. That is enough for you. That if you were to actually spend your time making dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, oh Allah, give him the highest station in paradise, oh Allah, give him the most worthy position, and this is all that you were to make and not make dua for you, then indeed this would be enough for you. But truly, No one can make complete dua for Rasulullah except who loves, who really loves him in his heart. You will not be able to do it, akhi, until your heart really loves Rasulullah. Because when Arafat is coming to an end, you will say, oh, let me just make a dua for me, myself. Oh Allah, give me a good job. Oh Allah, give me this, give me that. Right? So you will not truly be able to make complete dua for Rasulullah until you truly love him in your heart. And that is when your tongue will show it and when your actions will show it as well. Yeah, inshallah. Sorry? Any last question, brothers? Yes, brother.
Normally it's a portion, or maybe have numerous qurbani, that and one of a portion is basic on behalf of the Prophet or something to that effect. Is that something that is I'm not sure, is it
like that like you know when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he offered 100 camels in his last Hajj. He offered 100 camels. By the way, I wanted to actually mention something, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just before I answer your question, brother, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said al hajj wal hajj wa thajj, that Hajj is to offer food to people and to slaughter. And we know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he offered 100 camels. Now, how much is obligatory on us to offer in slaughtering? How much? One sheep, or how much of a camel? 1/7 of a camel. Yeah? But the Prophet ﷺ, he knew what was obligatory on him was what? 1/7 of a camel. But he offered what? He offered 100 camels. 100 camels in sacrifice. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajjul Ajju wa Thajj. He said, Al-Hajj is offering food to people, giving food to people, and also slaughtering. So my advice to you is to offer a lot in sacrifice, as much as you can. This is from the benefits, this is from the special things about Hajj. That you offer a lot in sacrifice. The Prophet ﷺ did so much. So why should you also not do so as well? Right. So the Prophet ﷺ, as the ulama mentioned, he offered equivalent to 700 people. Because 700 camels times 7 is 700. He offered equivalent to 700 people. Whereas we offer only one. No, rather, if you have the means and ability, then offer a lot in sacrifice. This is the good etiquette of having a good Hajj, that you should offer a lot in sacrifice. Right? Regarding the brother's question is that, when people offer sacrifices, they also sometimes they say, oh Allah, make this sacrifice for Rasulullah. Now this is an exception, because Rasulullah, as you know, that he had, when he had sacrificed his animal, after he had sacrificed his first sacrifice, he said, Ya Allah, hadha an Muhammad wa ahlihi. This is for Muhammad, meaning himself, Rasulullah, and his family. Then he slaughtered the second one and he said, Ya Allah, hadha an ummati. An ummati ummati Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam alladhina lam yadhbah. Yani, oh Allah, this is for the ummah of Rasulullah, of my ummah, who had not had the means to sacrifice. So it shows therefore that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did offer a sacrifice on behalf of his ummah. So it is permissible for you to offer sacrifice on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is permissible for you to do that. Now, but of course it's obligatory first of all to offer on your behalf. So offer it first on your behalf, on your family. This is what is obligatory first. And everything else is supurgatory. With that, inshallah, we finish. Subhanallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.